Good afternoon, Pastor Ed Rice here again, and I like to get the old trumpet out. I'm not very good at it. I'm learning how to use my new teeth, but I like, again, to get that out and play that. We're coming on Resurrection Sunday coming up here. I played that over the Juanita Lake this morning. I love to hear that echo across the lake. Praise the Lord. This is a Sunday afternoon, beautiful, beautiful day, except for the 40 mile an hour winds that about blow us off the lake. So I appreciate again that we can get together, have a Bible study here. If you have a Bible, let's open it up to the book of Exodus, and chapter 25 is where we're focusing at today. Exodus and chapter 25, and let's go ahead and look at what the scriptures say for our Bible study on God tabernacles with man. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. Ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering of which ye shall take of them gold and silver and brass. We call that a trinity of metals, and we looked at that last week in this Bible study. Verse 4 says, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen, and goat's hair, and ram skin dyed red, and badger skins, and shittim wood. And that's, again, what we want to continue looking at as the construction materials for God tabernacling with man. Father, praise you. Thank you again for your word. We marvel at its depths. Confess our ignorance to so many things in the study of this precious old book. And I pray again now that you bless as we look at this portion of scripture and at your tabernacling with man. And Father, I'll praise you and thank you for being an encouragement and strength in lives, even through what your word says. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Appreciate we could get together in this venue again for a Bible study and looking at these things. It's been, again, encouraging that we can get this out to more than just our folks, but it is targeted at, again, folks at Good Samaritan Baptist Church so that we'll grow in the Word of God. And this study, I think I've preached it before, but never in this venue where I can show you the slides at the same time we're going through it together with our Bibles open. So this is kind of a setback, and let's just go back and look at the Bible there's lots of things that we want to look at again concerning the last days, concerning stress, concerning what's a Christian to do in the year 2021. But this year is just, let's just stop and go back and look at some things in the Bible. It's amazing the depth of this book and scary how shallow Christianity really is in this day and age. We've got so much information at our fingertips that sometimes we spend more time playing with that than we do with studying the Holy Word of God. Some people, you find this hard to believe, spend more time watching television than they do reading God's Holy Word. And maybe you won't find that hard to believe, but let's go ahead and look into God's Word. We already covered some of these slides last week, and we just want to pick up where we left off. So this is again about God tabernacling with man. Chapter upon chapter of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible written by Moses, are consumed with the detailed description of this tabernacling of God with man. And so the study of this wonder is a revelation about our relationship with God. And so we can learn so much that's portrayed here in a picture and symbolism and descriptions that we want to look at. The Hebrew tabernacle is seen there on your screen. If we have time and do a whole six-week study, we'll also look at Solomon's temple that was constructed, and then also at Herod's temple. And then certainly it all goes to the last chapter of the Bible again, the next to the last chapter, that shows that the tabernacle of God is with man. And it says again, for the tabernacle here, described, this shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet with you to speak there unto you. I said last week again that in the Old Testament, God built a tabernacle for the people. In the New Testament, he builds a people for his tabernacle. 1 Corinthians, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and that ye are not your own, for ye are bought with the price. If you've been bought, if you've been given power to become the sons of God, out of John 1:12, if you are a born-again Christian, then God dwells in you, and you are the temple of God, as it says in that scripture. So again, looking at the scriptures and its clarity, Exodus 25 that I just read to you, again, talks about this offering and the materials that the temple or the tabernacle was to be made of out of Exodus and chapter 25. Of course, we had the Trinity of Metals we looked at last week. We understood that gold. And another observation I thought about this week is that God didn't just say, hey, here's gold. Let me use that for a picture of. I believe that God made these metals with the intent that he was going to paint a picture. He made gold with the qualities that it has because he was going to use it to paint a picture of his righteousness. He made silver with the qualities that it has because he wanted, again, to paint a picture of our relationship with him and his with ours and the ability of tarnish that appears in the silver. And he made brass again, that was a combination of two metals, copper and zinc combined together. And he did that for the very purpose of, let me have a metal here that's going to be a precious metal because of its qualities, but it's going to show again the judgment of God and judgment that can be too hard, judgment that can be too soft, and takes a balance in order to be just right. I can assure you God's balance for that is just right. Then there was a trinity of colors, blue and purple and scarlet. And so we want to go ahead and look at these, I hope. I don't know if I got the same chart up here. Let's go back here and look at the blue and purple and scarlet. I think I may have hit the wrong button and got the wrong tabernacle slide up here. You hang in there for just a minute. And let me go back. Let me get that next slide anyway that I had. Lots of people get the cart before the horse. God created precious metals. God created light with its characteristics. And so then we have badger skin and the other ones coming in. I think we've jumped to the second slide, even though we haven't finished the first. Use of God's material to show forth his presence. Be careful on that picture that you don't get the cart before the horse. Sometimes I have just too much fun putting these together. So let me go back and look at the tabernacle slides. And yeah, I opened up the second week of the slides rather than the first week of those slides. And so let's go back and get, that looks much better. So let's get off of that one. And let's get on to this one, praise the Lord. We have not finished all of this slide yet. All right, you're still with me here. Let's go ahead and look at this. I know sometimes it's annoying to click through. Watch me click through all these things here. I'm my own tech guy, and so that's all you get. Okay, let's see what we got up now. Always when I do this the second time, this computer is so slow. It takes so long. So as we look at this, again, we got through the trinity of materials. And you can tell there's going to be a lot of review as we go through these. And so let's go ahead and click right through these slides of the tabernacle, the temple, God's intent from the beginning. We got pictures of the tabernacle here. And notice the Shekinah glory of God was on the tabernacle, and that signified the presence of God with his people. You know, there's no Shekinah glory cloud of God that shows up in the world today unless it shows up in your life. And so the Bible says you are to be the light as a believer, as a Christian. You are to, again, be the very presence of God in this world. Here's the verse in Revelation we mentioned, Revelation 21:3, that says God is himself shall be with man and tabernacle with them. We looked at the Hebrew tabernacle, the portrayal that it had, the furnishings inside. The gold and the silver we've already looked at, gold, silver, and precious metals, and the candlestick of gold. Notice the silver lining along the floor in this representation of the tabernacle. The where the Ark of the Covenant was, the room was completely plated in gold. Then we looked at the silver as a precious metal and where the silver was used in the tabernacle. And then lastly, we looked at the brass and the brazen altar. And so that brings us up to where we were now, looking at the trinity of colors. Let's proceed on this set of slides and go through some of them. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, blue and purple and scarlet. God purposely chose the representative colors that would fill his tabernacle. Each tells a story. You cannot consider the question, why blue, without hearing a six-year-old ask, why is the sky blue? I can look out my window here and see a beautiful blue sky on this Sunday morning. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Psalm 19, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. When we look up to those sunlit heavens and glimpses into his firmament, we say a sky that is purest of all blues. Ergo, the color blue shall be representative of the glory of God. The sky is not blue because of Tyndall effect, discovered by John Tyndall in 1859, nor because of the Raleigh effect, defined by Lord Raleigh only a few years later, wherein he showed that blue light hitting molecules of air is scattered more than red light by a factor of 7 to 4, raised to the 4th power. Nor is the sky blue because the human eye has 3 types of cones, and one is the most sensitive to the blue wavelength of visible light, and less sensitive the indigo and violet colors, which approach the ultraviolet in visible light. No, the sky is blue because there is a God in heaven who designed and created the light spectrum with such perfect grandeur that when it strikes the molecules of the air that he made in his atmosphere, designed the red, orange, yellow, and green spectra light pierce right through, while the blue spectra is scattered by these molecules. Indeed, scattered to such an extent that an effervescent blue glow seems to carpet the sky and produce a closed curtain to the heavens beyond. Let me stop right here and just emphasize the fact that God created the world. I'm listening to some atheists describe some wonders of the world and the formation of the moon and the planet billions and billions of years ago. Listen, he's a Bible denier. A Bible believer is a science denier. We deny that if you keep breeding beagle dogs, you'll eventually end up with a Clydesdale horse. That just ain't going to work. And that's not science. They've decided what they want to prove before they set about it. And so they look at the world and say, this was not created. This was formed again by evolution. And so, and notice how, again, that just permeates our society. There's not a TV show I've ever seen that mentions God as a creator. Even Martha Stewart was made to lie on TV. Anyway, she went to jail for. But she, again, and I remember the time that she put up a fuss that she had to say these ferns were millions of years old on her show, and she didn't want to say that, but she was forced again by public opinion to lie about there being a creator. Listen, there is a creator to this world, and notice here the blue and the indigo and the violet spectrum of light all experience a scattering effect. But the blue marks the break point in the effect. Blue demonstrates the most clear scatter. Also, as previously mentioned, the design of the human eye is such that 3 cones of the retina respond most markedly to red, green, and blue light, which is why Roy G. Biv, if you've ever heard of him, used to track the 7 major divisions, let me say that again, 7 major divisions of light. It's amazing how many 7s are show up in your biology class, in your science classroom. But here's the light, it's visible light, is made into 7 distinct divisions. 7's a God's number, by the way. And that light division keeps these 3 capitalized in Roy G. Biv. Notice the spelling of that on your screen. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. So those are the divisions. And notice again, the blue shows up right where this spectra breaks off the effect. And we can see blue as a primary color. So again, we got if any art students here who have ever done any oil painting or any light work, again, you know, again, that a TV screen has 3, we used to, now it's got LEDs and everything else in there, has 3 primary colors, and it just mixes them, 3 colors, to make all the colors of our spectrum. Thus, Thus, some of the blue sky phenomena is contained in his design for light energy penetrating the atmosphere, and some of it is in the eye of the beholder, created in his image and in his likeness. We spent a lot of time talking and emphasizing the creator during this discussion. Maybe you've noticed that. Perhaps you've seen a rainbow. God created some amazing properties when he said, "Let there be light." And there we have all the colors again of the wavelengths and their frequencies. This is only our visible light. Again, to understand that light goes beyond that, there's infrared and ultraviolet that we can't see with the human eye, but it's just as present. In fact, it goes on beyond that even to understand that electromagnetic waves are all about us, and that is the same thing that light is. It's just in that one frequency spectrum, we can see that light, and in the others, we cannot. And so light is made of oscillating electrical field and an oscillating magnetic field. I'm an electrical engineer, love the study of this stuff. And so we see again that we can build a refractor that refracts this. In fact, God built one, sets it in the clouds as raindrops. When sunlight hits raindrops, it breaks it up into its colors. And you can see in a rainbow, as you see here, the red, orange, yellow, blue, green, indigo, and violet colors showing up with Roy G. Biv. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue. I may have said them backwards. Indigo and violet. So just a marvelous thing about light. That is a lot of analysis to look at a color in God's tabernacle, but it can develop a resounding appreciation for the glory of God. The curtain that God daily draws across the heavens, which declare his glory, is rich, vibrant blue curtain. The purer the atmosphere, the clearer the blue curtain. The blueness of the blue is only observable because of its resonance from the material world, coupled with the resonance of the eye of the beholder. The only creature holding the image and likeness of the creator, a creator who has all glory. That's an awesome study. I'd like to spend some more time there, but we dare not. This offering also included purple. I was taught in Sunday school way back in the 1960s that purple is the color of royalty. I still remember asking the question, why is purple the color of royalty? And my teacher said, shut up, it just is. Okay, that's not exactly what he said, but notice again here that there is a reason why purple is the color of majesty or royalty. And it is the majesty of God in this representation. Let's look at why. Purple, the color of majesty, the color of kings. God did not choose purple in his tabernacle because human kings liked it so much and deemed it the color of majesty. No, kings choose purple because God first chose it for his tabernacle. You'll be amazed how many times Bible teachers get that cart before the horse and then keep it there because some Bible commentary backs up their tomfoolery. Let's analyze purple for a moment. Purple is of great interest here. It is a combination of the first visible in the spectrum of visible light, red, and the very last visible in the spectrum of visible light, violet. Just like the alpha, omega to our eyes, the beginning and the end of visible light. When you combine them together, you get the color purple. And so notice again that indigo and violet is approaching that purple, but it doesn't turn into a pure, beautiful purple until it includes the beginning of the spectrum and the end of the spectrum. The beginning of visible light and the end of visible light turn out to be the color purple. And so notice in our display here again, we can see that. And as God revealed himself to be the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, so too purple in the visible spectra is both the beginning and the end. Purple is God's tabernacle, represents his majesty. When mere human kings wear purple, don't let it detract from this pure and powerful representation of God's majesty, because they put on their own majesty. The color purple is a combination of the most separated of the visible light spectra, and it is rare in nature. When it is, may it forever depict the majesty of the only first and last. Watch for purple in the world. It's sometimes in flowers, rare in sunsets, but not really found in Purple Mountain's majesty. The last of this offering color, of course, is scarlet. Blue and purple and scarlet, it says here in the Bible. The last color represents, of course, the color of blood. Scarlet is the color of life and the color of death. It is the color of sacrifice, thus the color of grace. It is the color of relationship, yea, the color of scorning. Red is the beginning color of the visible light spectrum. As you approach the beginning of the beginning, the red darkens, and as you disappear into the invisible blackness of the infrared spectrum of light, the very first of the visible light being a deep, dark red is called scarlet. So it isn't just red, it's the red as it disappears into visible light and it gets darker and darker, and that's what's called scarlet. Unlike purple, scarlet is monochromatic. It stands on the border between visible and invisible, between light and darkness. Therein, it stands to represent the likeness. It stands between life and death, good and evil, sacrifice and offering. What a tremendous picture. And probably most people have never realized the importance of that scarlet color. So notice here again that when God chose the colors for his tabernacling with man, every color he chooses is significant with the symbol and revelation. Every color, every metal, every fabric is significant and participates in his divine revelation of himself to man. Don't miss a single aspect of it all. And so as we look at the colors here, we next want to step in and look at the materials that were used in the building of the temple. Let's see, this is slide 27 of 32 slides. I think we're going to have to stop here. In the Old Testament, God built a tabernacle for his people. In the New Testament, God builds a people for his tabernacle. Are you a born-again believer? A lot of people call themselves Christian, although they don't possess Christianity. They profess Christianity. 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Spirit of God moves in you when you accept him as your Lord and Savior. I like to clarify that when a person gets born again saved, it's not done because some man stood before him in a long black dress with his collar on backwards saying certain things or throwing water at him in any fashion. If you are a born again Christian, it happened because you took Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We saw last week, again, in the verses I like to quote, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You need to be saved, the Bible says. Saved from the wrath of God, saved from the penalty of sin, saved from the condemnation. And Romans 10, 9 and 10 says here that you get there by making this agreement with God, a verbal agreement. He's already given his side of the oath of the promises. And now again, you've got to pick up and receive that free gift that we saw. Five most important things, Romans 3, all have sinned. Romans 6, the wages of sin is death. Romans 5, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. Even so, by the righteousness of one man, Jesus Christ, the free gift came for justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, so by one man's obedience, it goes on to say there and explain in Romans 5:12 and Romans 5:18. He died for us. He died in our place. His death on Calvary was a substitutionary death. He died taking your punishment. He died taking my punishment. And again, the Bible verse says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, religion is the works that we can do to try to get into God's grace. Someone said, boy, you're a religious person. I'm not a religious person. In fact, sometimes I'm a little sloppy that way. But again, understand that salvation is not the works that we do for God. It is a free gift. And again, we must personally accept that free gift. Have you? If you have, again, you can say with me, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and that ye are not your own? So as we study this tabernacling of God with man, if you're here and a born-again Christian, what a tremendous thing that, again, we have God tabernacling with us as we, again, worship him this day. If you're a Christian, I hope, again, that this is a blessing to you. I hope, again, that looking at these things will give you a new appreciation for the depth of this old book and the wonder of it all. Father, praise you. Thank you now for those that have joined in for our Bible study. Pray a special blessing on our efforts to dig into your word. You said faith cometh by hearing and hearing by your word. And so I pray again that you'd help each one that would tune in, that our faith in this troublous time that we live in, our faith would increase. Our love of you and our love of this book would increase. Father, help us a little this week even to maybe read more Bible than we'd watch TV. And I'll praise you and thank you for being an encouragement in lives in a special way this week. We'll give you the praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray it. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, thank you.